Kempton has just called in to the Coulter Automotive Group Sports line. Who knows what Wolf is doing right now? You can follow him at SunsTK.
We have no time.
Last night, Tim, was the first time this year, even the Dallas game, where I was getting jacked up during the game. It was. Okay, I don't care that it was win three. That game was awesome last night. Good morning. How are you?
I'm great. Yeah, it was awesome. You know, especially against San Antonio Spurs. You know, they tend to you know, have a little superiority complex these days. So it was definitely nice to see, and especially they went the way they went about it, with the way they came out and started the game. You know, San Antonio is going to make a run at you. They didn't give up the lead, and then, you know, they got it down to 1 point, and then the Suns pushed it right back up to 20 again. So, yeah, it was a very exciting game played by everybody on the Suns last night.
You know, I'm not talking about just winning and losing here, Timmy. I'm talking about the process. Was this the best they've played all year?
Yeah, you talk about that. Devin Booker was absolutely unbelievable last night. He had 5 assists in the first quarter, but just his understanding of what teams are trying to do to him now, making plays for his teammates. He set that whole first quarter up with his 5 assists, being unselfish, finding open teammates, and he's done it before in this season. But last night was the first night that guys started to make shots when Devin found them open when they were taking him out of the game in a scoring capacity. So, yeah, it was a phenomenal game all the way around because Devin continued to do what he's been doing, moving the ball, finding open teammates. They made shots, and defensively, the energy was there. You look at DeAndre Ayton, he made it difficult for LaMarcus Aldridge all night long. DeMar DeRozan, I think he had one dribble drive to the basket. Everything was a pull-up because the defense was cutting them off. The rotations were phenomenal. It was really, by far, the best game the team played.
So was it
so far,
Timmy? Was it the best defensive game they've played as well?
Easily,
yes,
easily.
No doubt.
And that's the thing. You know, people always want to see. Well, you know, you made this stop, you made that stop. They just forced San Antonio into taking uncomfortable shots. You look at LaMarcus Aldridge. He usually has no problem shooting over the top of people. But last night, DeAndre Ayton did a phenomenal job just position-wise, staying between him and the basket, getting the hand up, and just gave him that little uncomfortable feeling of, oh, there's someone in front of me. I don't have a clean look. And again, cutting off those dribble penetrations up to this point in the season, people have just been blown by the Suns and getting layups after layups, points in the paint. You know, 25, 30, 30 points a night in the paint, if not more. And then you always have to finish that defensive sequence off with a rebound. And I think all facets of on the defensive end, they played very well last night.
Tim Kempton, Suns color analyst, joining Doug and Wolf. One name that I want you to react to, and he might become my favorite NBA player. I mean, out of everybody in the league, and it is – I would love for you to give me an inside TJ Warren story, because in a league in which you have so many players that find things to complain about, you talk about champagne problems. It is amazing how many things NBA players complain about. TJ Warren complains about nothing, never talks about his contract, never acts like he's being, disrespected, and then goes out and makes himself a 3-point shooter and a far better player. I haven't seen him lack hustle in any game despite the storm that's around the Suns. Back up what I'm saying. What do you see from TJ Warren behind the scenes?
Well, if you want a story, he beats everybody on the bus, hands down, after a game on the road. He's the first guy in the bus, so he's quick out of the locker room after game. We're never waiting on TJ to get to the plane. But no, you're right. He's been phenomenal. Last year, he shot 22% from the 3-point line. This year, coming into last night, 47%. And that's just straight working on it, because it was difficult for last year. He just didn't have the NBA range to get to that 3-point line. So he worked on his range, his strength over last season. Now he has become unstoppable. If you ever listen to any of our broadcasts, TJ Warren, you know, there's a lot of great scorers in the NBA. TJ Warren is one of the best one-on-one players in the NBA, bar none. LeBron, Kevin Durant, you put anybody out there, end of the shot clock, throw it to TJ because he can get a shot against anybody, whether it's a pull-up, whether it's a finish at the rim, and now it's out to the three-point line. And he does. TJ's a very, very quiet kid. He talks to his teammates. He listens a lot, I think, more than he talks. He's a different cat, but he's made himself an elite player in the NBA and has done a phenomenal job in the starting lineup for the Suns this year.
You know, I watched Jamal Crawford. What a pro this guy is. Does this guy need more minutes?
That's a great question. I think last night he showed what he can do. I don't know if you noticed it, if you watched the game, but there were a couple of times in the sequence right there where he's just directing traffic. You know, he's giving little head nods to DeAndre Ayton for him to roll to the basket. He's waving his hand for guys to come down and transition so he can just peel off them as they run by. He did a phenomenal job leadership-wise last night for the Suns, and he gave them that little spark, two, three, four possessions in a row where not only did he score in those pull-up jump shots in the lane, but he got DeAndre Ayton involved, and it was impressive to see, and he's been delightful to be around. I know the guys really enjoy having him around, and he by his play in OKC and last night in San Antonio, he's definitely earned more minutes without a doubt.
Talking about minutes, I'm really interested to see how vehemently you disagree with me or only slightly disagree with me. Josh Jackson's first half performance was such a diametrically opposed performance versus his other games. I would have started him in the second half just as the small reward to say, yes, that's what we've been talking about. So, but I understand. I loved Bridges in the starting lineup in the first half. Loved it. But I would have went with Josh. Would you have thought that was too early? Because he hasn't earned that type of, congratulations yet. But I want to feed the beast a little bit and say, yes, that's what we've been talking about.
Well, here's the thing. You have to the most important thing to do as a coach is identify strengths and weaknesses and put guys in position to be successful. Right now, Josh is most successful coming off the bench and being aggressive. So I liked Igor staying with his lineup. That lineup has been struggling to start games and halves, second halves. So that lineup started the game perfectly. I mean, we've been on the opposite end of those scores year long. So I liked Igor staying with that lineup coming out, and then for Josh to come in off the bench and be his aggressive self. And that's what I liked about Josh. You can mix in a three-pointer every now and then, but Josh Jackson is best when he's aggressive attacking the basket, and that's what we saw of him last night. And sometimes, don't forget the other team, Greg Popovich, went in there and tried to make changes, so Josh doesn't, seem to have the same effect that he had in the first half, but I like the way Josh played again last night, being aggressive, a couple of big rebounds, attacking the rim. So, no, I thought Igor did a great job with his rotation last night.
Timmy, thank you so much,
talk,
man,
TK,
for coming on and
cheers
always being so.
For old Notre Dame.
They're going to lose by 40 in the playoff, and you know it. Come on.
I don't care. At least they'll be there. At least you had a little bit of
The point is that they don't belong in it. Because
are you kidding me?
Yeah, no.
They beat Stanford when they were number 7. They're going to beat Syracuse when they're number 12.
Syracuse. Because they beat a Syracuse and a Pac-12, and you want to
they're
put them
the
in.
They're the best team in the country.
Put four
just
SEC teams in and
all
be done
right,
with it.
All right. Hey, Timmy, we appreciate
you. He's a hater.